Scorpion's Audio.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
And we're rolling. What's up, dude?
Woo! I feel like I got the energy of a morning radio DJ. Dangerous Dave, let me tell you. Man, I'm having a good day, and those have been few and far between.
Yeah, what's so good about your day?
I almost feel like
I'm gonna shit on it, man, out of the gate.
All right, let's nothing. Well, it's nice weather out here, and it has been for a few days, which meant the trails got a little less muddy, so I got out. I wouldn't say I got rad. I got rad adjacent. I'll say that. I got in the vicinity of radness today, but taking it easy because I got a little shoulder issue happening, so we're doing a little physical therapy for that. But it's just...
What's wrong with your shoulder?
I don't know. I'm just old, and I never took care of myself. You know those injuries where you're like, oh, this just... I mean, it's like a hack bit about you get hurt sleeping wrong, but it's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know how to sleep. You're supposed to sleep on your back, you know?
Are you supposed to sleep completely on your back?
I wouldn't say supposed to, but that's the best way to avoid getting things kinked and all screwed up. I can't do it, man. There's something about my thought pattern when I'm on my back. Like, when I'm on my stomach, I'm comfortable. I'm not, like, true. Like, if I'm on my back, I'm thinking about different things.
Really? I never thought of it that way. I never thought of the position I'm laying in is going to affect what and how I think about.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's like I have like an emotional gyroscope. And if I'm on my back, it's like, it's like I'm worrying about everything and concerned. And if I'm on my stomach or my side, I'm just more comfortable and relaxed.
Man, on my back is Snore City. That's an invitation to snore right there.
Does Katie record you ever?
She probably should. I know that it definitely is a small issue. Like I would say two or three times a week she wakes up and will come into the living room and watch TV in the middle of the night because my snoring woke her up. But I always try to sleep on my side for that reason.
Rachel got earplugs and an eye mask, and it's like sleeping with a corpse. Like, she's just dead to the world, and her alarm's going off, and then I feel bad because I got to wake her up, and she wakes up in a panic. But she got some earplugs that work good, so the snoring, it was real bad for us for a while. Like, we had to have a second bedroom at the old apartment.
Yeah, I remember that.
And an earplug she had were uncomfortable. But, yeah, maybe she wants to try that out. It's not an ideal solution, but.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. By the way, thanks for everybody's concern. Last week we were talking about sleep aids and how I was taking a lot of that NyQuil Z.
Yeah.
Got a lot of concern comments talking about don't take too much of it. It'll mess you up and mess up your blood pressure and stuff. So I'm off that, actually, this week. I'm off that a little bit.
Oh, really? So, 4 years of being shit-faced drunk and high off our ass, and people want to weigh in about NyQuil Z? Thanks. Thanks for the concern. I'm pouring whiskey. I'm pouring a bourbon right now, boss. Stay away from that over-the-counter stuff. That'll get you in trouble.
Oh, man. Well, it's good that you're having a good day, man. So you got rad adjacent. What else is going on in Kyle's world?
Not to usurp the beginning of the show here, but... It was a rough week, man.
Oh, dude, I know what you're talking about, but it's a happy ending, man. This is great news.
So to catch folks up, so last week, last Thursday, I think it's like, Lil Dirty went missing, man.
Oh,
Creepshow just sauntered off in the middle of the night, and it was a weird day because like. Rachel and I were having a little spat that day, so it was like bad vibes. And then Kat was gone. And I was like, all right, yeah, she'll disappear once in a while. She's a stray cat. But then she didn't come back. I was up Thursday night. I was on the couch Thursday night. One of those kind of nights. Everything's fine now. Mm. Everybody gets on a little. Not like in a big protest, but I think I just fell asleep out there. I'm like, I'll stay here.
Mm-hmm.
But went up, you know, look in the garage, see if she's in her little bed, and she wasn't there. I'm like, yeah, she gets her night crazies. You know, creep show gonna creep, man.
So, do you guys have a little doggy door, cat door for her to go in and out?
Yeah, we kind of keep the door propped open to the garage, so she's got access to the outside whenever she wants. Okay.
So how long was she gone?
Well, so Friday, I was out. What did I do Friday? Oh, I was trying to go, like, get my BMX bike put together. And Rachel, like, we were like the aftermath of a little fight. You're not just talking yet if you haven't made up yet. Mm-hmm. But she texts me. She's like, have you seen Helen? I haven't seen her anymore. I'm like, no, she's been gone since last night. But I'm still like, whatever. It's a day, you know. But then no sign of her Friday. And then Friday night, no sign of her. And so 24 hours, which should still not be that much of a concern. Uh-huh. But we love this goddamn cat, Dave.
Oh, dude, I get it.
It's like, it's been the mascot. Like, we moved here and the cat was like, oh, so you live in this house. All right, well, I'm whatever name you want to call me, and this is my house. So it was kind of like this weird kind of landlord vibe that we have with this creature.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday came around. We're like, all right. And it was getting, man, it was getting dark because Rachel made some like lost cat flyers. And we went just walking. Like, she really never crossed the streets much. She kind of just stayed within the backyards of this block. So we were going to those houses. And then one woman, came out of her house. And she's like, oh, do you have, is that like a found cat? We're like, no, it's a lost cat flyer. She's like, oh, because my cat's missing. I don't know if I've mentioned Jingles, the cross-eyed idiot cat that lives around here.
No.
I say it with nothing but affection. But
who's Jingles?
Jingles. All right, so we got, the cast of characters around here. Next door, there's a, I don't know what kind of cat it is. If it's a Persian cat next door, is named Henry. And Henry just sticks to the yard. Henry has her dog buddy over there, and they just party. Then we got a little dirty Helen creep show dirt nap over here. Then there's Big Sexy. I think Big Sexy just takes his nuts out for a stroll whenever he feels like. I think he lives in the woods. And then
Big Sexy still got his nuts?
Big Sexy got swingers.
Nice.
Big Sexy will eat your truck nuts for breakfast.
I love to see a cat or dog that's still got big old sack.
I feel bad when they got like long, loose balls. Because that's like the owner being like, see, I didn't do that. And the dog, like, the dog's like big, loose balls with legs that you can't spread out, you know?
Yeah, it's a liability.
I wonder if the same kind of pain happens in an animal.
Oh, that's a good question.
That would happen, like, that happens in a human.
I slept on my nuts the other day, combining these two conversations together.
You slept on them?
Yeah, I slept. I woke
don't,
up.
Don't
I
sleep on your boys, were, Dave. You slept on your boys?
I slept on my boys.
Spent 4 years literally. Of telling people not to sleep on your boys, and you slept on your boys.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable.
Oh, you slept on your Dave and Busters.
Yeah.
That's what I call my D&Bs, my Dave and Busters.
All right, so Big Sexy still got his nuts. So we got dirt nap. We got Henry.
Hold on, did you wake up in pain?
Yeah, I sure did.
Like you just rolled onto him or something?
Yeah, I guess I rolled over in a weird position and then stayed there for a while and then eventually woke up and like I got kicked in the nuts.
Ooh.
And I thought something was wrong, like beyond that. And then because there was pain for about 10 minutes. And then eventually it fizzled off, and I was like, oh, okay, I must have just...
Yeah, but isn't that your thing, though?
No, no, no. That's different. That's different. But I tell you what, they do more harm than good these days. I tell you what.
Oh, get these out of the way.
Just in the way all the time.
Anyway. Okay, so, and then we got Jingles. Jingles a few houses down. And Jingles would show up, and cross-eyed cats just look stupid in the best way.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like Siamese or whatever. Or like, I don't know which kind has a cross. But then we saw it the other day, and we found out later, because, okay, so we're handing out these flyers. This woman's like, oh, my cat's missing too. And then... shout out to the mailman who apparently listens to the podcast and knows who I am. But he's like, I saw your cat posters. He's like, I saw it, but it was a few days ago. I'm like, oh yeah, she was still kind of hanging out around here. I'm like, this cat's missing down here. He's like, oh, I saw that one. But he's like, I do see coyotes down maybe about half mile away, but it's industrial area. And so my heart sank because, man, I would hear the coyotes, especially when I was living in Silver Lake and that kind of shit. So this woman's saying, like, yeah, my cat's missing. She's like, he's got a real weird collar on, which is that what we thought, because it was in our front yard chasing squirrels, and it had, like, a court jester collar on. Like this big...
What do you mean?
This big, wide, colorful collar. Like, you know, when you see a court jester, and it's got like a huge collar that's like the same width around its whole neck.
Yeah, like the roughly type collar.
Yeah. Like some Victorian type shit. And we're like, because this cat already looks dumb. And it is dumb. Like, it just sits in the middle of the road. Like, we were driving. That's how we knew which house it belonged to, because we were driving home one day and it was just in the road, and we slow down, and then the owner comes out, and the cat's name, we found out the cat's name is Ella, but we call it Jingles because they had a little bell on its collar. She's like, Ella, get out of the road! Cat's just looking at cars coming at it. And then it's got this collar on, and it just looks like an idiot. Cat doesn't know it looks like an idiot. It's just out there playing with the squirrels. But I guess that collar is... The owner was saying that the cat did... It kept catching birds. And the big, colorful collar is supposed to let the birds know that the cat's coming, so it'll scare them off. She's like, it doesn't work. She still just brings all these birds around.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was Saturday. And I was feeling bad because I heard about the coyote. And... you know, we're just that cat. That's like a room of the house is missing. Cause like that was like part of every day. Like every day that cat's around. Whether inside or not, it's like you wake up and the cat's out there. Like that's a fixture of this home.
Mm-hmm.
And so Saturday I got like trying to do some errands, and I was out riding around looking in ditches. And then I went down by that industrial park, just seeing if I, like, was not expecting to see a live cat. I was just like, let me see some evidence of a coyote or of either of the two missing cats now. And, we got real sad around here. And, Rachel went out with her brother that day. She's like, it helps if you go out and get your mind off it. So I went out with... I was going to go out with Sean Jordan that night and just go, like, sit at a patio and have drinks in Portland. And I had a moment, Dave. Oof. I had a coffee mug, a whiskey, and had one moment in the kitchen where I just, leaned on the counter and, like, let's get the big cry out of the way now before we go out for the night.
Ah.
Yeah, man. You need that. It's cathartic. You got to, I mean, I've made the jokes about it in the past, but I still believe that, like, it's a good physical release. Get it out of your, clear it out. You're sad. This is a thing that builds up. It's like the crusty stuff that you have to squeeze out so the mustard can go, you know? It's a mustard plug. Shout out to Michigan's finest ska band. So I'm like, all right, we just got out there, and I went out with Sean and got pretty housed. Came home, still nothing. At one point Saturday, I just looked at the sliding glass door and I was like, just show up. Like, we're getting real desperate, Dave. And every time we got, like, getting up in the middle of the night, and we'd look in the garage and kind of open the patio door and look around. And then finally, yesterday morning, Sunday, Rachel had gotten up early and put a plate of food out just to say, and this also, she got a tip from somewhere online, said, put your dirty laundry out, because cats have a really good sense of smell, and that might bring them back. So she put dirty laundry out in the back. So
I never heard that. That makes sense.
I didn't know about it either, but if anybody gets a cat missing or something, who knows if that's what did it. But so she put some food out and went back to bed. I got up a little later, looked out. Food was all gone, but, you know, whatever. I go look in the garage. She's not in her little bed there. And I come out, and she's on the patio, just magic trick style, just voila. And I just go, you fucking bitch. And then that was yesterday morning. But, man, and she, like, ate, like three meals in one sitting. So she was out there getting into something.
Oh.
But, man.
Well, she's back. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Now we're like, we got
to
get
I was concerned, man. I thought I was going to have to come up there and help.
I could appreciate your tracking skills, Dave.
Yeah.
A lot of people did express concern. I was like, normally I don't go looking for sympathy on stuff, but I did put that thing up on Instagram. I'm like, right, man, just give me good vibes. I'm not going to call them prayers because that invokes some sort of religious connotation. But I think positive vibes in the world can't hurt anything, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Might be some hippie witchcraft, but hey, she's back. So thank you, everybody. Dave, thank you.
That is awesome.
You texted me and expressed concern, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Fucking cats and dogs, pets, you know, like, especially for those of us who don't have kids. This is the closest, my three little goobers are the closest I'm ever going to have to having kids. And, you know, I know you can't compare them to human beings, but they're special. No,
they're better.
They mean a lot. That's so weird, though. The exact same day, unbeknownst to me, that Dirt Nap went missing, I did some handyman work around the house, and because we have a bunch of windows in this apartment,
yeah.
And it's great because we've got so much nice natural light coming in. So but it's old school. This building's literally 100 years old. So, anyway, not that that matters, but we like to keep the windows open, and then we got the window screens.
Yeah.
But, like, it seems like every screen, they've got these brackets that they're supposed to slide into and hold them into place, but because everything's so old, most of the windows are missing at least one or two of the brackets. So, and the cats love to sit up on the windowsill and do a little neighborhood watch. And it just struck me the other day because I saw Harvey jump up on the windowsill, and he's so clumsy that he, like, bumped into the screen.
Yeah.
And it almost just popped completely out. And I was like, man, it wouldn't take much force at all for him to just headbutt this thing or to paw his way out. And, you know, once that screen, if the window's up and then the screen drops, then boom, it's a jailbreak.
Yeah.
So I spent a couple hours reinforcing basically, I just drove screws into the window frames from the outside, thus, like, trapping the screen in. Like, there's literally no way those screens can pop out forward now. So that's just so weird that I just got the initiative to do that day. And as soon as I finished, I saw your Instagram that Dirt Nap was missing. I was like, wow, I don't know. Little things like that are weird to me. But
I'm glad you did that, though, man. That was smart
now
thinking on yours.
Now they can't get out. Yeah, because that's like Dirt Nap's a, you know, indoor outdoor cat. Obviously, these my little goobers are just indoor only, and just the thought of them and Dirt Nap, you know, has experience out there. Obviously, you know, go out, do her thing, come back. But these goobers, if they got out, there's no telling what would happen. I'm sure I'd never see them again. They'd get hit by a car or eaten by a coyote or just run off and get lost. But oh, yeah, that's one of my biggest fears is these guys getting out.
Well, that was our only hope. Like, all right, you got, like, maybe she's just on a bender, you know? So, but yeah, like, I was this broken up about that. I'm like, man, all my, like, human close relatives are still away. And this is how I handle a stray cat I've known for 7 months that just went missing. Man, I'm going to be in real rough shape.
Yeah.
So, Anyway. Man,
cats are awesome.
Yeah.
They, I've said it before, but they, I don't know if it's scientifically proven, but from my experience, they lower your blood pressure, man. They calm you down. Like, just them being around just smooths me out.
Not this jag off. Oof.
Little troublemaker.
Well, and then now we're like, all right, how do we figure out how she can stay inside? Like, we kept her inside last night. Like, no, you're staying here. And it's like, we're trying because, you know, Rachel's allergic. So we got, like, all right, well, she can stay in a kitchen, a living room. We'll close the bedrooms off. And then I hear her meowing. Rachel's got her earplugs in. So I get up. I'm like, all right, we'll sleep on the couch. She's sleeping on my chest, just digging her nails into my chest. I'm like, man, this fucking creature. It's manipulative.
Have y'all taken her to the vet?
We took her that first time just to get a checkup, make sure that she was all right. And like, yeah, she's about, I figure she's about 9 or 10 years old.
That's what I was about to ask. Okay.
Yeah, so well. Middle-aged for a cat, you know. But, dude, that was, it was a week. Oof.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anything else going on?
None.
Anything contributing to your good mood?
I just, some sun, a bike ride, trying to maintain my physical well-being. Just, you know, I'm not like, I don't lift weights or anything. I'm not trying to get bigger. I'm just trying to like, oh yeah, having stronger muscles prevents injury. And here I am trying to do a shit. Mm-hmm. I might straight up buy, I've been restoring this old BMX bike. And then I'm at, shout out to Goods BMX over in Portland and Shad. He's a dude, reached out to me. He's helping me like put it back together with old parts. And he's like, I don't know if you're going to want to ride this when it's together. He's like, this is worth this now. This part's worth this now. This is worth this much now. He's like, that's why he's got all these old bikes. He's like, that's why I just build these. I don't ride them. I just build them because they're cool and they're worth money to people that are interested in it. So I might just get it put back. I might just buy a new one just so I can go carve pools on days where it's too muddy at the trails. Because there's so many skate parks up here. And if I go at 8 a.m. and I miss any kind of teenagers that want to call me an old kook or a poser or something. I'm 44. I'm still afraid of teenagers, Dave.
Have you ever been heckled while you're shredding?
Oh, I'm like, yeah, man. Comedy for 20 years. That's what a joke. I was on the trail today. And like, I was thinking about jokes. I'm like, man, it's weird. Like, I hate fascists, but I love getting hecklers kicked out of shows because essentially when you're on stage, you're a dictator because you'd be like, you, I don't like you. Yeah. You're out. I will silence anyone that is in opposition to me. It's like, oh, that is totally fascist. Comedy, a stand-up comedy setting is complete fascism. It's just a benign dictatorship that can go sour very quickly. But nobody's heckled me. I mean, I'm going to be at a skate park with other people doing the stuff. And the dude, Shad, he's in his 40s. I mean, they were all like good riders back in the day. I never was. Oh shit. Big Rachel just texted me that Big Sexy just rolled into the yard. Whoa. There's action around here. Either the government is being taken over by hillbillies and nationally we have a concern to worry about fascists, or I'm just like, man, these squirrels are acting weird. I got no middle ground anymore. It's either macro or micro. There's no like regular world of like, I was driving rush hour and I had a show and I saw my friends. It's like, oh, this squirrel seems to be friends with this bird, or our militias are going to storm Capitol buildings.
Dude, speaking of old guys performing beyond their capabilities, I saw that video.
Been watching a weird, porn genre.
Yeah, I saw you shredding on the guitar the other day. You were doing what were you doing? Van Halen? What Van Halen?
I was playing some Panama. Doing? Yeah,
some Panama. And I've seen you play before. I've seen you bing bong a little bit on the guitar there. And, you know, you, like everything else in your life, you downplay your ability with your humility. But, dude, I was impressed. I did not expect you to shred like that.
Oh, thanks, man.
And granted, I'm not a guitar player. I'm not a musician. Well, so
that's
why you're impressed. but, I mean, seriously, I don't know the technical stuff. But, like, that looked like a video of a guy who knew how to play guitar. That was pretty rad.
That would be, like... I'm trying to think of it like that. Me figuring out that much on guitar is like somebody who doesn't know how to cook making like a good grilled cheese.
Really? That was just a grilled cheese?
Yeah. Like they didn't burn it. The bread came out pretty good, but it's not anybody could do that with a couple tries of practice. But thank you, man. That was all last week, man. We recorded. And I was down in the dumps I tried to go out. I'm like, all right, it's raining, but I got to go ride. I was going to ride my city bike. Like, let's just get out there. And so I did, and I got a flat tire in the rain. And I was like, well, I'll just go fuck myself then. And that's the day I came home. I'm like, all right, because I went live on Instagram just to be like, all right, I'm sitting under this covered basketball court waiting for Rachel to come pick me up. I guess I'll see what this is all about. And then I got home and it was kind of fun to do. And so I was like, I just play some guitar. And I admittedly, it was like, I just needed to feel like I was doing some sort of like performance or so, like, you know, miss doing shows and stuff. I mean, it's not comedy. It's not good, but it's like, hey, here's me being a idiot for some folks in the middle of the day. But enough about me, man. What's going on with yourself? Are you in a better mood? I know you're pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Angry.
No, yeah. Sorry about last
rightfully
week, everybody.
So. No, rightfully so, man.
It never ceases to amaze me that, and I understand people, longtime listeners of the Boogie Monster, they tune in for certain things and maybe they don't want to hear other certain things. But, like, of all weeks, you know, like, cut me some slack, folks. Like, we're living in history right now. So especially with everything that happened at the Capitol 2 weeks ago or whatever, like, yeah, I'm going to riff on that. I'm going to comment on that.
You listen to the Boogie Monster for better or worse.
Yeah. But no, I'm in a much better mood now. Just, dude, this is our last episode with that fucking disgrace in the White House. And I'll cap it at that today. I'm not going to go off on any soapbox, but that's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's our last episode having to deal with him. So,
yeah, man.
Yippee.
That's good. You got your cats locked in.
going against that.
If you love something, set it free. No, if you love something, hold it close to you. Imprison it.
Oh, dude, I watched a great documentary the other day. And it's not new. This one's been out about 8 or 9 years. But have you ever seen Searching for Sugar Man? Do you know what I'm talking about there?
No, I everybody was talking about that, and I did not see that one.
Dude, same here. Like, I remember when it came out and it got a lot of attention and for whatever reason, just never got around to seeing it. And I love music documentaries. I'll go ahead and give a spoiler alert here. I mean, it's a 9-year-old movie, but still, just in case anybody wants to see it who hasn't seen it, spoiler alert. So come back in 90 seconds. But dude, such a good documentary. It's about this dude named Sixto Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. He was a Mexican-American dude, Mexican heritage, but I believe born and raised in Michigan around Detroit. And he put out two albums, I think one in 1970, maybe the second one was around 71. And I've since gotten the albums. It's great stuff. It's very, it's singer-songwriter stuff, but with a little more rock and roll to it, like Dylan and John Prine, but also like with some good psychedelic guitar thrown in there. So like really, really good. Just kind of straight up classic rock sound. Anyway, long story short, this dude, he's just kind of a hobo in the late 60s, early 70s around Detroit. Nobody knew if he had a home. Nobody knew if he had a family. He was just kind of this weird loner dude that would show up at like music open mics. And he was really good and finally put out a couple albums. But he signed a shitty record company and it didn't do anything for his career. Literally, albums didn't hardly sell anything. It didn't really, you know, give him any fan base, didn't tour much. So he kind of puts that dream to rest. And for like the next 25, 30 years, he's just like a day laborer. He's just doing construction. He's doing like demolition, just gutting old houses and stuff. Just like really
more of this than I thought. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And unbeknownst to him and like just completely anonymous in America, like career went nowhere. He was kind of known in Detroit, but that was about it. So he's like, all right, this music thing's obviously not going to work out. Let me get back to work. And for years, just like really low-level day labor stuff, and not to be, you know, not as a pejorative. That's a whole other thing that maybe we could talk about later, just the minimum wage thing. But anyway, unbeknownst to him, somehow in South Africa in the mid-70s, no one knows how this happened, but he like some of those records started showing up in South Africa, and one thing leads to another, and he becomes like a cult hero in South Africa and starts selling tons of records. But because he signed a shitty deal, none of those royalties were coming back to him. Yeah. So he didn't know anything about the moving any units down there or anything. And some of the people in South Africa say, like, no shit, there was a certain period of time where he sold more records than Elvis Presley. Like, this dude was, like, one of the most famous musicians in South Africa, and he had no fucking idea. Meanwhile, he's back in Detroit ripping copper wiring out of old buildings and shit, copper pipes and stuff, and... But just, and they're like, this dude was a phenomenon. Like, he was a cult. Like, everybody in South Africa had these two records, and they played them on the radio, and people were buying these records. And the whole time, he had no fucking clue. And then the other twist here, spoiler alert, is there was these legends going around that he had killed himself on stage. There was a couple of different stories. Oh, I heard that he lit himself on fire during a concert. Oh, I heard that he pulled out a gun and killed himself. And then towards about two-thirds of the way into the documentary, they reveal, like, oh, shit, he's still alive. And this, like, new record company or these documentaries, I can't remember if it was a record company or but anyway, these guys found him. They found out that he was alive. Then they told him, hey, guess what? You're hugely popular in South Africa. And then he... a few times a year, he'd go down to South Africa and just sell out, like, basketball arenas. They showed one show. It was like Staples Center. It was like 15,000 people. And just to think that, like, for decades, he was just doing construction and had no clue that he was almost a household name on another continent.
It's...
So, amazing documentary.
I still go back to the 30 for 30, the one that's called Broke.
Excuse me,
sorry for it. Just about, like, nobody can understand how somebody getting paid so much can go broke. And it was really eye-opening. Just to, like, either, not really in sports, not so much shitty deals because they have agents to kind of look out for them. That's more like in the music world. I think it's people have, you know, get, like, the shitty deals like this. But, I mean, we've talked about it before, but I think it's fascinating every time you want to be like, this guy's getting this much money a year and he's filing for bankruptcy. And like, all of them talk about, like, man, I'm paying for three kids or second cousin's coming out of the woodwork or this whole community that sacrificed so I could go to this, you know, make it to football practice after high school. I am indebted to them because they all kind of as a community saw my talent and made sure that I made the most of it. Like it's not as cut and dry as you realize. And also secondly, I know it's like, looking like, oh, I'm just doing demolition work. Demo work's like you've done it, right?
Yeah. I've done all kind of that nasty, entry level construction stuff.
Is it a little bit fun? Up. It seems a little bit fun. Kind of like, oh, I'm like a little kid. I'm just going to smash some stuff. Like they have those demolition rooms that you pay to go do that stuff in.
Yeah. But a lot of that stuff can be fun. And he even talked about that, about how you know, it never bothered him, like the status. It was just like it was something he kind of enjoyed. It kept him fit. It kept his mind and his hands occupied, and how he just would approach every day is just, you know, there's no bad. What's that old saying? There's no unimportant jobs, just unimportant people, or whatever that saying is.
But, yeah, no small roles, only small actors.
Yeah. But yeah. And by the way, anybody who wants to listen to his music, he just goes by Rodriguez. And he's got one called Cold Fact. That's his first one. And I forgot the name of the second one. But I got them both now. Got them this weekend. Just excellent stuff. Really cool stuff. But yeah, that just blew me away, that the concept that an artist, whether it be a musician or a writer, or comedian, whoever, can be so popular in a certain part of the world and have no clue, just have no idea.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to do with the internet being what it is, but back in the day.
Yeah.
And then if especially musicians or artists that were more like their talent, like almost like on the spectrum, and their talent was their voice to the outside world, that like, yeah, they're not going to go pursuing things and be like, where's my check? Which is where, if you have an honest manager, that stuff gets handled. But if you don't, you're like, yeah, okay, well, you're going to pay me. And so I watched, somebody recommended The Man Who Sold the World, S-O-U-L-E-D, about is it Steve Rocco? The guy who started World Industries Skateboards. And just talking about the deals like that skateboarders got, and how, like, a skateboarder owned company. But it was just interesting, because I'm like, it's skate culture, so I'm already kind of interested in like skate or BMX or kind of culture. But just, and it's also a little bit of a punk rock thing of like, oh, here's these big skateboard companies, and we're just going to do this ourselves. So it's very, keeps with a DIY ethos of anything. Yeah. Like, oh, wait, why? Like, and the same thing, like, wait a minute, why are you saying that there's rules that, like, oh, everybody gets a dollar per skateboard, like every sponsored rider gets a dollar per skateboard sold, or this or that. Like, who made up these rules? And that's how I think about all show business. Like, no, your manager gets 10% and your agent gets this much percent. It's like, who? It's not a law.
Yeah.
Like, these things are all, they're all movable numbers. But you go there, I mean, I'm myself included, like, I got to get a manager. I got to get this, and they get this much. Like, these are all movable ideas. There's no hard concepts. It's all negotiable.
Yeah.
I don't know. You want to talk about some creatures, some goblins or something?
Dude, let's get into it. Speaking of documentaries.
Speaking of which.
You mentioned it a couple weeks ago, a new documentary called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Contact Has Begun. Subtitle: Contact Has Begun. Yeah. I finally watched that, dude, and it's not an easy watch. There's so much info that I had to watch it twice, and it's 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But dude, let's and you saw the whole thing, correct?
I did. I had to break up. Like, I watched over a couple days.
Yeah. Dude, there's some stuff in here that we really, I mean, there's a few episodes worth of stuff in here, but let's try to tackle some of the highlights.
Stephen Greer, it's about
those
Stephen Greer
we're talking about. Yeah, Stephen Greer, same guy that did Unacknowledged a few years ago. I guess that was his first big documentary.
Which that one?
And I think we watched that one together. That was pretty good. But basically, the
Wasn't that the Jeremy Corbell one or no?
No, I feel like the Jeremy Corbell one was the Bob Lazar.
Yeah, because Corbell's a fucking kook, and Lazar's.
Yeah, he seems like a bit of a.
Yeah, goober. That one was. That's Phenomena or something. That one was.
Yeah, but
fiction.
Dr. Stephen Greer, he seems legit. He seems like he. I mean, he seems like he knows what he's talking about. He's got a lot of experience. But basically, the premise of this documentary is alien disclosure, something we've talked about a lot. But I never really thought of or discovered this little twist. It's not just about alien disclosure. It's about how the government is or is going to spin Disclosure.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about this. But first of all, before we get into that, let's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Let's do a recap of the different types of encounters. Close Encounter of the First Kind, basically just a visual sighting of a UFO.
Hand-holding.
So that, yeah, that'd be the first, that's first base.
Second kind is over the shirt, over the shirt, over the clothes.
Second kind is physical traits are present, such as like.
Yeah. What's the third
such
kind,
as like
Dave?
mouth
on circle. Parts that aren't on God mother mouth it. Parts.
Oh, I fucking opened a can of worms here. Second kind is physical traits that are present, such as like a crop circle, crash site debris, stuff
crop
like that.
Crop circles have been totally debunked, though, right? We can...
Have they?
I mean, they're just...
I mean, I know there's some that have been attributed to humans, but I feel like that's still a thing that could be legit.
Do they only... Is it always like wheat or corn? That's the thing. Like, why aren't they fucking with other crops? Why isn't it like, oh, my walnut trees? Like, they're only fucking with cheap crops. You know that? Like, that's means it's.
Why is it even got to be crops? Like, how about on a beach? Like, well, you know, make a cool pattern on a beach.
Okay, well,
in the sand or something.
Okay, that was a podcast that, not to sidetrack, but a podcast I was listening to called Tales from the Rabbit Hole, which is the one. I was trying to remember. It's not the End of the Rabbit Hole, which is an, or whichever other the Rabbit Hole one, which is the New York Times talking about how somebody got, indoctrinated into the right wing thinking because of YouTube algorithm. This fella, Tales from Rabbit Hole, he's just a debunker, but he was talking about, he's mostly like, he always steers it back to flat earth. That's his thing, is about debunking flat earth, which is like fucking, oh boy, look who's taking home ec for the third year in a row. it is a very soothing podcast to listen to, i.e. there's no ads. But he was saying that he was talking with somebody who was one of the people that like, would make the crop circles and people or why they'd make them get excited. And then that kind of fell out. The crop circle thing fell out. And some of them just considered themselves performance artists. And they did start going to beaches and doing it in the sand. So.
Okay. Let's see. Where were we? Third kind would be someone witnesses the pilots or occupants of an ET craft. So, you know, third kind would be like, oh, I saw the aliens inside the UFO. Close encounter, the fourth kind would be a human being is brought on board an ET craft. So that's pretty serious. And then I don't know if Dr. Greer established this or coined this one, but the fifth kind would be considered human-initiated communication of a craft or being. And that's kind of his thing called CE5, where him and some other like-minded folks will go out a lot of times in the desert of the Southwest, and they have lasers and lights, and then also they do, he talked about just like telepathically. Towards the end of the doc, it got really into like the consciousness and all that. And some of that was over my head, but fifth kind would be human initiated communication. So those are the five kinds. And early in the doc, Greer kept saying, that UFOs more specifically, he's more interested in, and I agree with this. He's like, UFOs are cool. You know, oh, look, we see these spaceships or whatever floating around, but I'm more interested in the occupants of those crafts. And I kind of agree with that. Like, that's where the real juicy stuff comes in. Like, oh, we actually saw an actual alien. But he kept saying that the aliens, UFOs are not a threat. And at first I was like, well, how does he know? But one point he makes later in the film is he thinks that if they were hostile, they would have reacted aggressively after we detonated our first atomic bomb. And that kind of makes sense.
I don't think, like, there's no reason for them to be hostile. Like, okay, my opinion on aliens, definitely real, Fermi paradox type shit. Like, there's got to be something out there. Why, if they are already so developed to have interstellar travel and ESP, the fuck? Why would they? why do we think we're so special that they got to come here and they're like, and be like, oh, you know what? We like, we're still thinking them in terms of, you know, a Spanish explorer looking for cinnamon. Like that's what we have to the galaxies. We have something so special here. We fucking don't. There's nothing we have here that I don't think, in my opinion.
Well, natural resources, you know.
To what?
They might be interested in our natural resources.
You're talking about the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, shit. They got bromide? Oh, we don't have bromide. We can transcend the fabric of space and time, but we don't know how to make bleach. Like, they all get it. They don't need, if anything, maybe they need more sunlight and our planet's in the way. And so it's going to be like, oh, we're going to take out a tree to get more sun. Like, that's why. And we would just be evaporated. I'm sorry to interrupt your covering of this, but.
No, that's all right.
But they do touch on the idea, like, why do we think it's got to be this constant? Like, that's my problem with all the UFO reports. Is like, oh, it could communicate telepathically with me, but it still needed to come down a hydraulic ramp from its spaceship to do so. Like, if you could read my mind from inside the spaceship. Mm-hmm. Oh, you could read my mind, but there's like a Wi-Fi radius on it. That if I get too far away from the router, we can't be telepathic. Like, that's the thing. They can already travel. This is my problem with the concept of what aliens are now. They can already travel through space faster than the speed of light, yet they have windshields. They still got to see outside of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
They can't telepathically see where they're landing. Like, that's my problem with the account. And they cover that. He does talk about, like, it could just be this idea of consciousness. That is not a spoiler alert to the whole documentary, but that consciousness is the dimension that they're traveling within.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've mentioned this point before, but they had that constitutional attorney on there, that Daniel Sheehan, and he made the point that he's like, I definitely think alien life is a thing. He thinks it's legit. And its discovery, he doesn't, like Greer, he doesn't think it's a national security threat. He thinks it's more of a theological and philosophical concern. And we've talked about that. Like, if the full disclosure happens, then what does that mean in terms of how we think existentially and philosophically and even theologically, you know, in terms of God and the universe? But that's an interesting point. But basically, the whole premise of this doc is, is the government going to give us full disclosure for the purpose of uniting the world in a one world government against a common enemy? And they show that clip where Reagan actually said as much in a speech to the UN back in 87. He said, quote, perhaps we need some outside universal threat. Think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat. So that's something I haven't thought much about until seeing this documentary, is maybe the reason that the government is spinning everything like, okay, yeah, we'll finally admit that they're real, but boy, are they a threat and we need to unite against them. Maybe that's the vehicle they use to finally accomplish the one world government, also known as the New World Order.
Well, and also, was that the point where Reagan was still like actively shitting his pants and wondering where his monkey best friend was? So, but I did watch the Reagan documentary that was on HBO, the Reagan
Showtime.
Yeah, whichever one is a 4-part series. And how, man, Hollywood through and through, Ron and Nancy. The beloved Republican head of state still consulting psychics on the regular.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they just talk about how he's easy to manipulate because he was still like loved being an actor and loved being like the hero. So they go, oh, if you do this, people will love you. All right, you got it. Side note, it was an interesting watch. But Reagan,
I did see
that
where he
said that part of like, Something to unite everybody.
And then they go on to even talk about just basically propaganda. And I never noticed this either, but just how we've been conditioned to just automatically think that any alien life is going to be hostile, even in our movies and entertainment. Think of all the movies that involve aliens, and they're the villain.
Yeah, but other ones
have a little montage.
In the day the Earth stood still, isn't that? I mean, now I'm really talking out of turn, talking about a classic movie that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the one where the guy comes down and they're like, well, they still like shot at him or something. Boy,
yeah,
good recap.
Examples.
All right. What's the one where the guy comes down and he's trying to be nice and they're mean to him?
But then there's so much interesting stuff in this. When they were talking about Project Mockingbird, basically an alleged large-scale program of the CIA that began in the early years of the Cold War in an attempt to manipulate the news media for propaganda purposes and basically started, I think, in the Kennedy administration in terms of the CIA was working with the board of editors of the New York Times. They were working together to control what info and what intel was released to the media. So that's a whole other can of worms in terms of, you know, how our information is being manipulated, fake news, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and look at where that, like, the siding is, like, well, New York Times and Trump calling it fake news and this and that, like, well, fuck you, Trump, you're full of shit. Mm-hmm. And then you hear something like, oh, yeah, the CIA was working with newspapers to control what information gets out there. Like, a state-run media. Oh, you mean Russia. Or any number of
they glossed over this real quick. I don't know if you caught the part where they were talking about Project Mockingbird. They were like, there were government black projects that did stuff like the assassination program that was fueled by heroin trafficking to keep all the money off the congressional books. And there's so much shit like those dark projects and stuff that I am so ignorant of. But like, an assassination program that's funded by heroin trafficking. Like, there's no telling what the CIA has been up to over the decades. But Greer
says something about
also
says
alleges,
something about drugs, man.
Yeah.
Make that money.
I thought this was interesting when he was talking about some of our nuclear weapon silos were visited by aliens and some of the missiles were disarmed by the aliens. He said he spoke to several people who worked in those silos or around those silos. And many times those guys would see close range UFOs. And next thing you know, those missiles aren't functioning properly. So the belief, and I think we've touched on this before, the belief that you talk about, okay, what do they want from us? What do we have that they, you know, that I don't know, but it might be in their interest that we don't blow each other up with nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And he was so much crazy, crazy shit. I don't know if you caught the part. This, there's so many cool things that they would throw out and then not elaborate on. I guess because that would need, you need a whole nother documentary. or proof. I don't know how to pronounce this. Fort Huachuca in Arizona. He said there's an underground facility there that is currently housing 9 different fallen UFOs and their deceased alien bodies. That's something we got to look further into. This was awesome. Around the 29-minute mark, there's an amazing video clip of what Greer believes is a UFO dodging a missile that was fired from Earth.
Have you seen that clip? Yeah.
What else could that be? Because you see what looks like a UFO, and this is taken from the space station, I believe, but you see a UFO kind of slowly meandering through the frame, and then kind of off camera we see the effects of like a bright bang or flash. Then the UFO bolts in the opposite direction in which it came, and then right as it's skedaddling the other way, you see a projectile, like, barely miss it.
I appreciate you describing the trajectory of a UFO as skedaddling.
Yeah, it was skedaddling the other way. But that's insane to think that we're up there launching, we're down here launching missiles at UFOs.
Missile off the starboard bow, skedaddle port.
But that was amazing.
Captain Dave and the... And the SS slow smoker. Skedaddle port, we got a missile coming in. SS slow smoker would just be SSSS, by the way. I think
that this might be the most.
This, go ahead. I still want to go back to look at technology. If we're to think, ooh, I got into this. I'll say it right now. What am I having? Burnside bourbon that I picked up.
There you go.
Store got some fun whiskeys and a bourbon, and it's treating me nice. The
nice.
Okay. Like, we're gonna go onto a spaceship, and it's still like steering wheels and buttons and shit. Right now, think about what's the advancements that have been made just with us, with humans, who are still wearing fucking horns and storming Capitol buildings. Mm-hmm. Like fucking idiots. In the last 150 years, we've still also come a very, very, very long way with, you know, think of just go back 150 years and explain everything we have right now. That's just 150 years.
Yeah.
Now let's say, and I'm not hopeful about this statement, we make it another 150 more. Just in another 100, like, look at, like, how biology and technology are being integrated now. There's, you know, I saw a story about a guy that was able to control his arm movements with his mind, like, paralyzed, but control arm movement. Like, they figured it out. Like, they're slowly conquering paralysis by hacking into the human mind and whatever science they're doing in there, you're able to think your arm to move if it's previously paralyzed. Now, if you can think your arm to move, or if they are just on the very, just the cusp of figuring out how to just thinking to make movement with paralysis and people like that. When's the connection going to be like, oh, I want my computer to turn on and I'm just going to think about it to turn on? Now, if that's the case, when's the I'm going to think about when I want my spaceship to fly? When is the spaceship part of you? When it's all just going to batteries not included is really where I'm.
Isn't that what Elon's working on, that Neuralink thing? Are you getting planted the chip implanted in your brain, then you can just think about certain functions and they'll happen?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess probably, because every bonkers idea he's had, he's throwing money at it, and it's kind of come around. So say what you want about the dude, but he keeps getting behind more and more crazy shit.
Dude. One of the craziest parts of the movie. I don't know if you caught this. Again, some of the most interesting things they gloss right over. But they talked about how the CIA has been staging alien abductions. Fake alien abductions staged by the CIA. They had this guy, Richard Doty. I think we've talked about him before. He did a lot of that. He worked with the CIA, either for them or with them. But he stated that... yes, the CIA has staged fake abductions. And what I mean, and he says, for the purpose of laying the psychological foundation of interplanetary conflict, he said there's a special unit out of Fort Belvoir in Virginia that would conduct these fake abductions. And they replicated some of the technology to where they could, I guess, basically they had a fake UFO. And then they had this technology to where it could actually beam people up the old beam me up, Scotty, or whatever, you know, just got sucked up into a UFO, all those stories. He said they were able to replicate that technology. And then this part, he said that that special unit out of Fort Belvoir in Virginia, that they would conduct these fake abductions, and they would sometimes bring in people, human beings with physical deformities, to pose as the aliens.
Why did I miss this part?
Again, they throw it out there and then don't follow up on it. But he said that not only is the CIA staging abducting people, but he says that they're using actors, people with physical deformities that they can pass off as aliens that are a part of this.
The thing that I keep hearing come up where, like, how are you going to get this many people involved and still keep it a secret?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's the military, you know, that's why they have, you know, the different,
security clearances.
Fuck. Clearances.
All right. Clearances. Okay. Military security clearances. Not like, hey, you got a pretty, not the casting agency. It's like, yeah, we hired a bunch of weirdos to pretend to be aliens. Noses.
Come here.
And we paid them $30 and a rack of Schlitz to keep it all hush hush.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
As far as UFO documentaries, I thought it brought up way more interesting points than a lot of them. Way more sincere points. I was more interested when they went into the idea of, like, it's about, like, consciousness is the route of travel. It's not time. It's not, you know, it's not physical. It's the dimension of consciousness, which, as I say that, I could not tell you fuck all what it means.
Yeah. But
the way they're presenting it and framed in there, I kind of understand the idea. So that was where I got more excited about it, that they were addressing that fact. The thing I've been addressing the whole time, like, why aren't aliens just, you know, travelers of thought, you know, conceptual passengers? Because otherwise, like, oh yeah, we have to travel 1,000 times the speed of light or whatever, some sort of physical possibility that we can't comprehend. Maybe that is when you're traveling at the speed of thought. I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm getting into this cup right now.
One last little point about the documentary I want to make. I don't know if you saw this part. Apparently in 1989, there was this global committee, which included President H.W. Bush, Mikhail Gorbachev, the Crown Prince of Liechtenstein, and then the U.N. Secretary General, this guy Perez de Cuellar.
Thank God we got Liechtenstein in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a New World Order, and we got Liechtenstein coming in.
These guys were all part of this committee that attempted to bring forth disclosure back in 89, but before they could go public with it, this UN Secretary General de Cuellar, Perez de Cuellar, he was abducted in New York City by aliens, and he was told by these aliens that if he didn't cease the disclosure efforts, every world leader, including President Bush, would be abducted.
That's the most obvious CIA shakedown. They hired Teflon Don's goons. Wear a rubber mask and scare this guy into not saying nothing.
But yeah, even Greer, when he's telling that story, he was using quotes under abducted and aliens. Mm-hmm. But like, I would like some more info on how that went down. I wonder, did they use that alien technology? Did he get sucked up into a fake alien spaceship? I don't know.
I want more info on Liechtenstein being a part of the New World Order.
Yeah.
Who is it? My old neighbor. I don't even know how to spell Liechtenstein. My old neighbor, did she get citizenship? I think she got citizenship in Liechtenstein, because like all the shit going down, and Liechtenstein's like, please, we'd love for you to come here. We got nothing going on. And she got a passport, and yeah, she got citizenship. And I think that's where we got to start focusing on is Liechtenstein, because it's the size of, it looks like it's the size of fucking Lombard. Whoa, who's that?
That's over,
is that Mothman coming
that's
in?
Next to Germany?
It is.
What?
It is. it's about as big as Lombard. It ain't that big. Yeah, it's between Switzerland and, what am I looking at a map here? That's Germany? Switzerland, Italy, Austria, and Germany. It is basically the size of a city. They would love, like I said, my neighbor got, it's 25 kilometers long.
Jeez.
A cultural and financial center. Ooh, yeah, what do they have going on? What's Liechtenstein? Like they're part of a world order that's going to tell, that might just be aliens. That might be, we've given aliens Liechtenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Please come here. And you come because you got to be open-minded. Like, oh, I'm not really happy with the way my country is. And then you get to Liechtenstein. Like, listen, you know, this is what's going on. We're extraterrestrials. Now we're just terrestrials. We're not extra anymore. We're just regular folks. We go skiing. We love this concept of skiing. We're close to the Alps. It's beautiful here. Dave, aliens land. You need to present them with one dish. What do you give them as a peace offering?
Oh, man, that is tough, dude. One dish.
We don't know if they even eat food.
Man, I'd probably have to give them a good chicken and sausage gumbo.
You're giving them meat, huh?
Yeah.
Wild concept, dude.
You think that a faux pas? That they take offense to that?
Aliens get here, they look more like kangaroos than they do people. Do you still give them the same dish?
Yeah, because that's all I know. This is all I got, pal. You know, you come over to my house, you're going to get what we have.
Look, we've
I didn't get any.
We've boiled, I've simmered into a delicious roux your heritage. That's the risk you're going to take?
I mean, I guess maybe I could do a nice vegetable soup, you know?
I do think you know, and vegetables and synthetic protein will be the future.
You do think so?
You know, like not like in a 10 years or 100 years, mm-hmm. but in a long game future. If it exists, I think that'll be it.
Are you saying will we no longer have access to animals, or will we evolve?
I just don't think
past the point of eating them.
Well, I mean, think about how it was always looked like horses are looked at as a food source to some people. And in mm-hmm. America, you're like, oh, I would never. But you eat a cow. Well, what the mm-hmm. fuck? They're just cousins in the field out there.
Yeah.
So why, if somebody's already going to be like, oh, never in a million years that thing, but this one over here, scrumptious. Yeah. What if that way of thinking then goes from that to like, oh, not those things, but maybe just chickens, and then not chickens, but maybe just eggs, and then maybe, you know, and I'm not trying mm-hmm. to any kind of righteous vegan. Like, I'm not vegan, and I still eat the fish. So, but I think that, like, I think it'll move away from that, because right now, like, part of it's environmental. I do think that's going to be a big push, that if people start taking global warming seriously, they're going to look at how much the cow farts and everything are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we were talking about before, if you've never driven by a true like ranch, like commercial ranch, not like, oh, look, there's 9 cows in a wide field that are living a happy life. I mean, like, just jammed next to each other on a muddy hill, and it smells like shit for 30 miles.
Yeah.
So I think environmentally, it might change. It might be priced out. It might become like more of a luxury than it is easy to consume. Because that's what I don't think people realize. Just look at a line at a McDonald's at lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And just how you're not thinking that that's just beef. That's got to come from somewhere. People don't realize. I hate to go like, oh, flyover states. Yeah, what are you flying over? You're the reason you get to stay alive. Food. Let's not shit on flyover states so much. Mm-hmm. They're making sure you stay alive. That's why they look like that. Anyway, boy, there's my 2 cents. There's my deep fried 2 cents, buddy.
Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Contact has begun. It's on Amazon Prime for free. Highly recommend it.
Close Encounters of the Sixth Side. Six Kind. Big old barbecue. Big old cookout for everybody.
A lot of crazy info, man. And like with any of this stuff, who's to say what's real and what's fiction? But, man, if nothing else, it's interesting. Makes you think.
Figured it out. Liechtenstein. That's where the aliens live. Aliens live there. I'll put that one out there. That's where they're controlling the world banks, all the money that people want to hide.
Uh-huh.
And that's the aliens being like, we're aliens. What do you want to do? Or you want to do some nefarious shit? Well, we'll stash your money for you. We're aliens. Nobody will find it if we'll hide it in space. It's not a thing that looks like a meteorite.
Yeah, I don't understand any of that. All that confused me. I know it's hard to believe that I'm not an expert on international commerce and finance. But
that's why they won't disclose it. That's why. It's like Scientology. Like, well, we're going to tell the world about aliens. But cool, then you have no money anymore. The billionaires of the world have entrusted extraterrestrials with their finances, and now it's an extortionary measure for the extraterrestrials to be like, this is how we want your planet to operate, and you'll do as we say, like Scientology. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tom Cruise, for all your money. Oh, you don't want to make Mission Impossible 17? Everybody, Tommy Cruise is gay. So that's what's going on. Liechtenstein, that's the headquarters. There, cool. I answered it. I figured out DB Cooper and I figured out aliens. What else do you want? What else do you want from the Boogie Monster?
We don't deserve you.
How many more answers do you want? I'm getting slept on over here. I'm offering answers to these conspiracy theories and they're sleeping on our boys, Dave. Us being the boys.
Hey, and sad news, the NRA filed for bankruptcy.
It's a move. It's a protective move. I don't think they're broke. I think they're just trying to be able. I was reading about it. They're just trying to be able to relocate somewhere, and they're trying to protect their assets. But hey, a defensive move, nonetheless, from the NRA is a funny thing. Why don't you just show them your guns and say you got to get them from my gold dead hands, or I'll file paperwork.
You any speculation on Wednesday? Any you think any violence going to go down?
Man, I checked out of that. I'm hearing about like who had a role in letting them get in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know how there's still people out there thinking it's. Either you don't believe this, either you believe this election was stolen in spite of fucking Trump's own judges being like, nah, man, this is legit. So again, the not like believing that all these judges, they were on his side, are still part of some giant conspiracy. Yeah. Even his own people, or the facts of the facts, much like we all had to deal with 4 years ago when he won. We're like, there's no fucking way. And we had to deal with the fact that in spite of the majority, in spite of the popular vote, Electoral College got this fucking loser in for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had 4 years of just their idiocy being reinforced by the president of the United States. Fucking morons got to think they were correct. And
I got gaslit. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit about you idiots.
No, no, not at all. Fucking gold toilet. Gold toilet there thinks that you shitbags are a priority. But then now that, like, you know, how do you tell a toddler that they're not in charge anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with intelligence in this whole movement knows that they're like, okay, we can manipulate this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, these are allies. These are like, oh, these are the most featherweight pawns that we can push around in any way we need to. And they won't notice that because they're not looking at things analytically. They're looking at things emotionally. And if I do that too, we both do that. Everybody does that. You get caught up in a thing and you get riled. But
ironically, that's their stance, though. Back when I used to listen to right-wing radio, that was one of the biggest principles is conservatives think with logic and liberals think with emotion.
Both
they're all just
both sides emotional. Use the same argument. You know, both sides think, because they both think they're right. They both think they're both based in facts until the facts don't agree with where they stand. And when the facts don't agree,
mm-hmm.
I think more often than not, the left is like, well, this is how it went and it sucks. And now we have to strategize. Whereas it's not, I don't even want to say the right, but this group of people, instead of like, oh, there's no facts, it's fake news. And it's a conspiracy. There's no facts anymore. There's no facts. There's mm-hmm. no facts that they will accept that go against their beliefs. If there are facts that go against what they want, it's a conspiracy. And what a weird safeguard. What, you know, that's just, it's an impenetrable armor. So, if you had cops and stuff letting people in, who knows, man? They're supposed to be like, oh, we're going to protest. We're going to go to every state capitol. We're going to do all this shit. Here's that Civil War action. Like I was saying before, man, I don't want to get down in the dumps, but man, let's start looking at a lot of domestic terrorism. Again, one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter. Somebody, that woman who got shot trying to jump over the tables and chairs, maybe she truly thought that there was this, you know, these hidden pedophiles. The Epstein thing, that's clear. Yeah. Oh, this guy was a guy who supplied underage women to everybody. Not everybody, but, you know, all these people. So that is shit. That's a good example of fuck, man. You do have proof of that. And they will look at, man, Bill Clinton was there. But yeah, Trump was pals with the guy. Well, we'll ignore that part.
Yeah.
But like I've said before, then why haven't you been protesting churches for the last 25 years when these mm-hmm. scandals broke out? That's global. You want global? The Catholic Church, Catholicism, that came tromping around the whole world to believe that, give us your gold and believe in this God or we'll kill and rape your people. Actually, we're going to do that anyway, but also, give us your gold and believe in this God.
Good riddance. Good riddance.
I think we're only seeing a fraction of what might be coming up. Depending on, again, I just pure theorizing, not like I got knowledge. Everybody knows. I don't have to keep precursoring everything.
I always found it ironic, too. I always found it ironic that most white supremacists are the most genetically deficient idiots I've ever met. Like, I wouldn't condone it, but I would kind of understand it if the white supremacy movement was spearheaded by, like, Harvard-educated, blue-blood aristocrats. Like, look, everybody in my family is college-educated and wealthy. Therefore, you know, the white race is a part of the I wouldn't make it right, but you would be like, okay, I understand why they think that way. They're all rich and educated, and they think that, white rich people is the way to go and the way to be.
So wait a minute.
But these fucking idiots are some of the dumbest, dirtiest, uneducated, mouth-breathing fucking idiots I've ever met. But what power?
Well, but yeah, like but the, but look at like, oh, are you saying like rich people convincing poor people that they're soldiers for honor? That's just the military.
Mm-hmm.
Military doesn't care what color you are as long as you're willing to die for what rich people want them to do. It's not...
For freedom.
Like
protecting our freedom.
The white power movement is just that's like Bush leagues for the military. Quick, get in here. We're going to indoctrinate you to think this only way. What are you doing? Serving country or serving your white heritage. No, you're serving somebody who's rich who needs you to do, who needs pawns, who needs somebody who can be
defended freedom.
Manipulated. I don't know, I'm getting into like, oh boy, don't I know so much territory, which I don't. So I can hear it in my own voice where I'm like, all right, calm down, Kyle. Talking out your ass like everybody else. As we talk on this Martin Luther King Day, about the fucking white power trollops out there. Got a recipe to, you going to ring us out with a recipe, Dave?
I don't have a recipe today.
Nah. Just good vibes? No. Just big bowl of good vibes?
Good vibes. Big bowl of good vibes, man.
Side,
things are good.
Side of rad? A side of rad with big bowl of good vibes, man. That's what I'll tell you.
Hey, I was wondering about this today. Did you ever finish Dracula? Is there a video of you reading the last line of that book?
My manager was like, I can tell you don't like doing this shit anymore, and he sent me the Cliff's Notes. So I think I polished off the last... 5 or 6 chapters just reading the Cliff's Notes, and it was great. Man, that book was a fucking drag.
Oh man.
It was written in journal form. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's journal, like a couple people when they were written from that character, was interesting. This is informative. It moves the story along. And then you like the, not to say it was like the, because it was the woman, but like the written a man writing the woman's versions of events was insufferable. And then who's the main guy they made a movie about, the guy who hunts all the different monsters, Van Helsing, his shit is all trouncy and gallopy when he's talking, and it was a hard read, man.
Yeah.
Not a hard read, just not fun for what we know of Dracula. Like to go to a classic after you've already been conditioned to be like, and then Dracula throws grenades and the vampire hunters have bazookas. Like, you know, that's what we. I got to find the books, the literary version of Fast and Furious. And maybe I'll do that next.
Anything to plug?
No.
What do you got going on? How's you and Shane's thing doing?
We're working,
right? Where can we find that?
We're working on it, man. That's still.
Oh, it's not released yet.
No, that's just a project in the works.
Oh, okay.
What about you? What's going on with Stoneberg? You guys still?
Yeah, every Wednesday.
Happy and jamming. Some happy jammers.
Yeah, man. It's just a real real goofball fest over here. Katie's world-class goofball.
Yeah.
And that's why I love her. So it's just two real goofy people who love each other.
Just
trying to solve other people's problems.
Buddy, be thankful that you are that we're locked down with someone like that. So hopefully everybody out there, you got that special somebody. If not, you got me and Dave. Or you got the Stonebergs to rely on.
That's right.
These trying
times. I'm on Cameo.
I saw
that. We got a couple more.
I saw that.
A couple more days.
I saw you doing that.
I've already done I've done several cameos. I've done a couple that were geared towards Trump relatives, people's relatives
really?
Who are thinking of Trump. So we've got a couple days left. If you want me to cuss at your Trump loving uncle, just look me up on Cameo.
Be glad. Do they know who sent the Cameo when the person gets it?
I don't know how that works, to be quite honest with you. I'm assuming they do.
I thought it would be weird if somebody just got an email and it's just you like, what's up, you fucking dork? Listen here. And be like, what? Who's this? Who is this?
Who is this guy?
Why is he mad?
That's funny. Yeah, they don't even know it's from a family member.
Yeah. You're just sending out real specific emails to strangers.
But yeah, man. Whatever you need.
I'm just going down names of people who sound racist and putting @gmail.com afterwards and sending them very pointed messages.
Oh, man. Good times, buddy. You got Family Zoom coming up?
Family Zoom about to rock. Oh, shit. It's 5. Last I looked at my watch, it was like 4:30. All right. Yeah, I guess I got a jam on that.
Tell Pat and Deb I said hello.
I will.
And Tegan.
We know old Deb got a little thing for Dave. We'll cover that.
Oh, boy. Time.
All right. Yeah, I forgot. I didn't realize it's 5 already.
Good catching up, buddy. We'll holler at you next week.
Real good, man. Glad to come in. Glad to come in on some positivity here.
Yeah, man. All right, buddy.
All right. You be good.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.